Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin,
turn the volume up,
and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
All right, here we go. We want to welcome you in tonight at YSR, the Quicken Loans studios, and the Big E Sports Show. Indeed, I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and we always like to pause. We like to thank each and every one of you for making a point to be with us tonight. And in hour number one, we're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to get after it because we're going to focus our attention on the upcoming, the 2014 NFL Draft, as it's just around the corner, and it is certainly loaded with a ton of intrigue, so many dynamic storylines, and I might add, there is some controversial prospects in this year's NFL Draft. I'm looking forward to breaking that all down, of course, because tonight we are going to lead off with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We're headed into Lincoln, Nebraska with the double nickel, number 55, one of our absolute favorites. And that, of course, is the three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska and former NFL player Jason Peter. Good to have you with us, Jay.
How you doing, E?
Well, Jay, I know that we had a chance to visit momentarily, and you're a little bit under the weather, so we sincerely appreciate you joining us tonight.
This is what happens when... It's 60 degrees one day, and then you end up with snow on the ground the next. But that's Nebraska Midwest weather for you.
Oh, it's crazy. So is that turbocharged snow shovel, is that still in the garage? Can you put that away yet?
Well, that's why I had kids, because now they can do that.
You wouldn't do that to your daughters. What are you talking about?
You got to instill that work ethic, E.
That's so true. I do. Absolutely. Growing up in Montana. So, okay, Jason, you were a first-round draft pick back in, what, 96? The NFL draft, I know you've been keeping a close watch on this year's prospects, especially some of those controversial ones. What are you looking forward to the most in 2014?
Well, I'm excited to see the Clowney kid from South Carolina. He's obviously not short on patting himself on the back and claiming he is the best athlete in this year's draft. Says he's going to go out, he's going to run 4.4. You know, for a guy that's 270, 275 pounds, that would be absolutely flying. But, you know, there's a lot of question marks with this guy. People were expecting him to do a lot more. And, you know, it's not like he gets these ringing endorsements from his head coach in Steve Spurrier. And this is usually the time where maybe head coaches or position coach, you know, they kind of embellish maybe how good their guys really are, and, you know, they're the best player that they've ever coached and this and that to help them, look good in the eyes of these NFL teams. But really, Spurrier has he kind of gives them some of these backhanded compliments, you know, in terms of, like, his work ethic. Like, you know, it's It's good. It's not Marcus Lattimore good, but, you know, so I think when you talk about a kid who's potentially going to be the number one pick, you know, everything is on the table, and there's not a stone that goes unturned when it comes to the research and the background checks and everything else that these kids have, I guess, had in their lives for, you know, the first 21 years of their life.
Now, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, it's very unfortunate to hear, we've talked about it all this past week, how this is a kid that's got to be managed closely. He needs to learn what it means to be a pro. It really sounds like he's just got to grow up. He's immature.
Yeah, and you know, to really survive in the NFL, you got to like what you're doing. You got to really,
you got to love it.
Just liking, you got to love it.
Yeah,
you got to love it because it's not always game day, you know, and it's not always the bright lights are shining, and you know, obviously the game has changed, not so much. I guess the game itself, obviously they're protecting players more, but I think the notoriety that comes with these players nowadays, you know, people used to look at football players up until, you know, 5-10 years ago as the guys behind the masks. You know, there weren't many endorsement opportunities, you know, unless you were a star quarterback. And now, you know, everything has changed, and these guys are getting pulled in every different direction. And when you have a kid that you're already questioning, I guess, his commitment and his heart at the collegiate level, where you don't have to deal with any of that stuff, you know, at least not on the surface. If you're doing something, I guess, against NCAA rules, you know, that's a different story. But, you know, you don't have to go to a photo shoot here. You don't have to do, you know, this and that. But when you get to the NFL, that stuff, especially if you're the number one pick, that's uh-huh. all part of the game.
Well,
and you better have some sort of time management skills so that, you know, your craft doesn't suffer.
Well, Jadeveon Clowney certainly does fit into that category of one of the controversial prospects in the NFL draft. What about Johnny Manziel? I mean, he's certainly has been one of college football's most dynamic and exciting players, and he kind of threw out a bit of a caveat to the Houston Texans and warned them, what's going to happen if they pass him up?
Yeah, I know, and this is, you know, a kid who certainly he doesn't lack any confidence. And when you look at those two, Clowney and Manziel, at least with Manziel, you say, yeah, there might be some issues there, but the kid is a gamer, and he goes out, and when it's on the line, you know, he's gonna be there. You could question, I guess, his leadership skills, at least some people, just by some of the decisions he's made off of the field. But, you know, you're talking about 19, 20-year-old kid. You know, I mean, you got to, I guess, cut him some slack in that regard, because everybody, you know, goes through that. But most people don't have, you know, a camera on them 24 hours a day. So I do think it's something that teams need to be cautious of. You know, when you look at, is Houston even a viable option? I think Houston is saying right now, yes, that he's on the table for them, because why would they reveal, I guess, their card at this point? You know, they're going to entertain all offers. You know, if somebody really wants Manziel and they think that he's a threat, you know, to go number one or number two or number three, then, you know, you're going to have teams that are trading up, and you know, usually when teams are desperate, they'll end up giving up more than maybe what the deal actually called for. But, you know, I personally, I would like to see him in Cleveland. I think, you know, Cleveland is they've got talent there, but I just think he he is what Cleveland needs. They need something to energize that franchise, something to put them, you know, kind of on the map, back on the front page, and I think Manziel could do that.
Well, his mobility is certainly attractive. He's got that knack, as we've discussed before, for extending plays. He's so crafty. So many, I think, of these teams, perhaps they might be spooked by his intangibles. We'll have to see how that plays out. Jason, I know you're under the weather today. We sincerely appreciate you joining us in our very first segment. You need to go to CVS, go get some Fisherman Friends throat lozenges, and I just pray for you that you'll feel a whole lot better next week, okay?
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Much more straight ahead this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at eradiosports.com and Twitter. We love hearing from you. Join us at Twitter at eradiosports. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with much more of the Big E Sports Show.
Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's.
You're listening to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
It's the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Okay, welcome back this evening to YSR and the fastest 2 hours in radio. As usual, our show is being powered and presented by our very good friends at Quicken Loans. And in our next conversation, we will turn our attention to the Winter Olympics, as it has been such an incredible month watching the coverage, all the different events. I must share, my absolute favorite is watching figure skating. U.S. skaters Gracie Gold, Ashley Wagner, I mean, they are beautiful, they're elegant, but they are true competitors, and it's been just so much fun to watch. So right now, it is our Olympic segment. We are delighted to welcome into this evening's program Dr. Kevin R. Stone. He is a celebrated orthopedic surgeon, a former orthopedic surgeon for the U.S. ski team, and we have invited him in tonight to discuss in our Winter Olympics segment just on the knee injuries and the overall ACL dilemma in the sports world. What a pleasure it is to have you with us tonight, Dr. Stone. Thank you so much.
Good evening. Welcome to be. Pleased to be with you.
Okay, well, we have certainly, as I just mentioned, we have enjoyed watching the games in Sochi, but I have to be honest, we've missed seeing skiing superstar Lindsey Vonn after she announced her withdrawal from the Winter Olympics with that torn ACL. It was such a devastating, horrible timing with this injury. I just kind of want you to share with our listeners tonight how you've helped these premier athletes navigate through a very disappointing and a difficult process when they experience this type of an injury.
Sure. So a lot's changed in this field. And so, you know, when you were playing high school or college basketball, when you tore your ACL, it was just a devastating injury. And often the surgeon would take your own patellar tendon or your hamstring tendons to rebuild your ruptured ACL. And the recovery was almost as bad as the injury. And so a lot of things have changed. Number one, we now have donor tissue, sterilized bone, patellar tendon bone, the strongest tissue. We can use donor tissue to rebuild people's knees, which speeds their recovery and takes away that anterior pain that we used to produce by taking the patellar tendon. And then number two, we're doing a lot with stem cells and growth factors now in order to speed up the healing. And then number three, we've learned a ton about rehabilitation. So we immediately get people moving. And one of the best things we try to teach people is if you do have a knee injury, if you could just look at yourself as an athlete in training and not a patient in rehab during the healing time, then you can focus on all kinds of good fitness things and build yourself back and maybe even come back better, as we say, fitter, faster, and stronger than you were before you got hurt.
Dr. Kevin R. Stone, former orthopedic surgeon for the U.S. ski team. He is world-renowned, known so well. What is the biggest challenge for you as an orthopedic surgeon? Because I'm assuming that there's a balance between, you know, having your patients return too soon or too late. I mean, there's a real form in that, isn't there?
You know, it is, because every athlete wants to be back tomorrow.
And of course.
So much of the research we do now is about speeding that healing. And as you know, a lot of times it wasn't the ACL that took the patient out for a long time. It was the tear of the meniscus cartilage or the articular cartilage in the knee. And just as you learned when you were playing college ball, you know, having a meniscus tear, well, it seems like a small thing. If they take out part of it, years later, you start to develop arthritis. And so that's what we're so passionate now about when we see people with an initial injury. If we can repair or save their meniscus, or if they've lost it, if we can replace it for them, then all of a sudden the impact of this injury isn't so bad, and maybe you won't get that arthritis that you got later on, or if you already have arthritis, it's a good way to take away that pain without doing a knee replacement.
You know, the one thing I remember from tearing my lateral meniscus the end of my senior year in high school is just the learning to trust myself again in my body so that I could respond. I mean, you have to really flush out that fear factor and fight through the pain, but just have that belief that you're going to be 100%.
You know, that psychological part of it is huge. And that's why it's so important. What you see different from the world-class athletes you're watching at the Olympics right now from a lot of people is that the world-class athletes absolutely have no doubt whatsoever that they're going to be back next year or sooner. And they're going to come back just as good or better. And if you can adopt that, if the everyday weekend warrior can adopt that attitude and just use your injury as an excuse to get better, fitter, faster, stronger, lighter, improve your diet, improve your nutrition, drop your weight, do all the things that we try to teach patients, then all of a sudden that injury can be, you know, not such a bad thing and maybe even a wake-up call.
Okay, we are visiting with Dr. Kevin R. Stone. We're talking about the 2014 Winter Olympics and also the rehabilitation process when you suffer a major injury, blowing out your ACL. So tell us some more about the BioNeem program that you developed back in 91.
Yeah, so the most common thing people coming into my office would say, hey, doc, isn't it just a shock absorber you can put in my knee? I lost my meniscus playing high school or college ball, and now 10, 20, 30 years later, I've got arthritis. And I might be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. I still want to run marathons. I still want to do sports. I'm not ready for an artificial knee yet. Maybe just delay the time. And so what we spent a lot of time in the research lab and now clinically doing is figuring out how to regrow their arthritic cartilage, and how to put back in the new shock absorber, the meniscus, for them. They can play on a bio knee rather than a bionic knee. And while it's cool to be bionic, and we all love watching those shows, it's a problem when it rains and you're bionic, and it's a lot better to be biologic.
Okay, so it's remarkable how you rebuild the knee without artificial materials, but how does the process go in terms of finding a donor to be able to make that graft?
Yeah, that's gotten easier, too. So when the patients send us their x-rays or MRIs, and we do this for people for all over the world, and we don't charge for this, by the way, so people can send them and we can look at them for them. If they need a meniscus cartilage, per se, we wrote a research paper that showed that we can measure the person's height, weight, and sex, and another person's cartilage will be about the same size as them. So an easy way to look at it is if you see a 200-pound male, 6 foot tall, another 200-pound male, 6 foot tall, will have about the same size cartilage. So it's turned out to be quite a bit easier to size match these things than we ever thought it would be.
Okay, Dr. Kevin R. Stone is joining us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Tell all of our listeners, Kevin, where they can find out more information.
Sure. First of all, you can always send us a question or x-rays, whatever, at info@stoneclinic.com. And then part of our passion is to teach people, so we post a lot of things on stoneclinic.com. And then people are interested in BioNee. There's a link to BioNee there. And we really believe in pushing forward the science and helping people get back. And our goal is to have you playing the sport you want until you're 100 and drop dead playing that sport, with a good smile on your face.
Okay, so Kevin, there's been a ton of research and discussion about women and them being more prone to ACL injuries. What's your belief on that? I mean, does it really matter?
Yeah, unfortunately, it does matter. So in the ACL in particular, we see 3 to 4 times higher injury rate in women than we do in men. Now, part of that is because there's so many more women playing sports at both a younger and older age and playing more extreme sports than they ever used to do. But there's just something about the combination of body shape and muscle development and everything else that just puts their ligament at a little higher risk. On the flip side, I would tell you, though, that many of my women athletes and patients just seem to have almost a little better attitude in rehab than a lot of the guys do, and they tend to rehab better. And so while the injury happens more often, their recovery often is better.
Kevin R. Stone, Dr. Kevin R. Stone, has been with us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, former orthopedic surgeon with the U.S. ski team. One more time, Dr. Stone, tell all of our listeners tonight where they can find out more information on your clinic.
Sure, just go to stoneclinic.com or call us in San Francisco or send an email to info@stoneclinic and we'd be happy to help and respond to you any way we can.
Okay, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us tonight, okay?
Listen, take care.
You bet. Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
The Big E.
We are back with you in hour number one at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show here at the Quicken Loans Studios. And the countdown is on for the NFL Combine to get underway. The team we will feature tonight will be the Minnesota Vikings, as we will be previewing in our next segment some of the positions that the Vikings will look to address in the upcoming draft and players they may be targeting. We're also going to walk down memory lane and reflect on the former and legendary head coach of the Vikings, the great Bud Grant, and what distinguished him as a head coach. It is such a pleasure to welcome in tonight Jim Bruton. He's a sports writer and author, and he worked with Bud Grant on this new book. It is titled I Did It My Way, Bud Grant. Good to have you with us, Jim.
Well, thank you. I enjoy being with you, and should have a lot of fun talking about Bud.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we have a lot of ground to cover, so we're going to get right to it, because this has been a time of transition for the Vikings. You guys have a new head coach in Mike Zimmer as he looks to get situated, and his staff, they've got to address a number of key areas. Does it all start defensively?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, we gave up one of the worst round of games with defense this year than we've had that I can remember. I mean, I think we were one of the worst in the league, something like 31st out of 32 teams. And we remember the days of the Purple People Eaters and where the defenses won the great games for the Vikings. And last year was a sorry excuse for a defense, no question about that. But the quarterback situation has been another problem for a couple of years now. And I think going way back to the days of Fran Tarkin and Tommy Kramer, we really haven't had a quarterback that's been in and settled for a number of years, and that's been a big problem for us.
Well, you got to feel good, though. You've got a strong personality coming in on board in Norv Turner and just his credentials and what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I mean, just having watched him for all those years with the Redskins and I think recently with San Diego, the wide open offense, throw the ball down the field. It's been exciting. So I think it's going to be really great to have that kind of an offense, and hopefully he can develop one of the quarterbacks we have, or we'll find something in the draft or through free agency.
Okay, so Norv Turner, last season at Cleveland, 6 seasons as San Diego's head coach. What is the mindset, do you think, going into the 2014 NFL draft? I mean, they've got to get, what, a young quarterback and perhaps bring in a veteran?
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think there's a lot of fans and even I think the organization, from what I read and hear people talking about, that they'd like to bring Matt Castle back. It seemed like every time we were figuring that Castle was going to be the quarterback for the rest of the year last year and then the future, he'd follow a good game with a bad game. And so then it seems like it was starting all over again. And they say, at least through the media, that Christian Ponder will be back as quarterback again. And whether or not he'll be starting or not, I would doubt that. But there's also some exciting quarterbacks in the draft, so we'll have to see what happens.
We're talking about the Minnesota Vikings with sports writer, author Jim Bruton this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And that is interesting, because I understand what the general manager, Rick Spielman, saying that Christian Ponder will be back for next season. So when will that be determined?
You know, Ponder was another one that, like Castle, I mean, he would have several good games, and then all of a sudden he would just kind of stink up the place. And after 3 years, I mean, I did Fran Tarkenton's book several years ago, and Fran has always been of the belief that within a very short period of time, you get to have a pretty good idea of whether somebody can play or not, and that it doesn't always take, you know, several years sitting behind a seasoned quarterback before somebody's ready. I mean, there's a lot of players that have come in and played right away, and we just have not been able to settle in on a quarterback here for a number of years now.
Well, that is such a critical position, and the Vikings will definitely be looking for some answers. And this is a new era in Minnesota Vikings football, and with your new head coach, Mike Zimmer, he is looking to quickly turn things around. Joins the Vikings after spending the last 6 seasons as the defensive coordinator with the Bengals, who helped lead them to the playoffs the past 3 consecutive years. You got to love what he brings to the table, because he has that defensive mindset.
Yeah, it's going to be different. No doubt about that. Al Frazier had a defensive mindset, but apparently the personalities are quite different. I mean, Frazier was very well liked here. He was thought to be a very consistent, nice guy, kind of a coach, well liked by the players, by the organization, by the fans. But he didn't win enough, and that's the bottom line. And Zimmer seems to be more of the hard-nosed, get-in-your-face, that type of coach, but apparently very well-liked also by players. So it's always exciting when you have a new coach and you have to kind of see what's going to happen. But it's exciting. I mean, we've got a new coach. We've got uh, starting out next year, the next 2 years, the Vikings will be playing outside again for the first
time. That's right, yes.
1982.
Uh-huh.
They'll be playing at the University of Minnesota Stadium. And then of course, in three seasons, two seasons outside, then we'll be in the brand new stadium that's being built right now.
You know, Jim, you talked about the passion that Mike Zimmer brings, but also you have to look at his background. I mean, he has worked with, two Hall of Fame coaches, whether it's Barry Switzer, who's in the College Football Hall of Fame, and Bill Parcells in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him. I mean, you know, as a longtime Viking supporter and so forth, you always kind of look for the big name, somebody that you're familiar with and you know. And so, I mean, he was a name that I certainly didn't know, and I'm sure a lot of the players and so forth. But the interesting thing about it is, I always find it interesting when you hear interviews of people who played for an individual, and mm-hmm. and they kind of cut right to the chase, and everything we've read is that the people who played for him think he's great, and he certainly has had a good track record so far. You always wonder, you know, well, why hasn't he been a head coach before? Well, sometimes it just takes a long time for some people.
Well, and he is a Midwest guy. Do you believe that he is a good fit for Minnesota?
I think so. Everything that we've heard to this point, I've talked to some people who know him, gotten to know him quite well since the short time he's been here, and I haven't heard anything negative. People that I have a lot of confidence in have been very impressed, and so I think as a fan and what we've read and everything, he's pretty impressive at this point.
You know, in some of the interviews that I've seen with Mike, I mean, he talks a lot about the young players that they have on their roster, that they have potential to be great. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this Cordarrelle Patterson is just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's such a great, great young player. And of course, Adrian Peterson may be the best back that ever played the game. And he still seems to be running strong. And the offensive line of the Vikings is pretty good. A lot of seasoned veterans there. I think there's just a lot of potential. We have a long way to go on the defensive end, and that's hopefully something he can really bring to the table.
Okay, when we opened up our interview, Jim, we were talking about the position of need, the defensive line. Who are perhaps some of the players that the Vikings might be targeting? Can you kind of weigh in on that a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, as far as a couple of big targets are people that are with them right now. And I mean, you got Jared Allen, who's a free agent, who they're thinking won't be back. You got Kevin Williams, who's been a mainstay in the line for so many years, won't be back. The Vikings released Aaron Henderson, who'd been kind of a solid linebacker here for a number of years because of some off-the-field conduct. And there's some good, solid people on defense, but they're very, very young. And so I think the free agency, it just depends on who they pick up. There's a lot of unfamiliar names out there, but, you know, sometimes these players, when they get a chance and get a new surroundings, they do very, very well. But I think the biggest question that they're asking around here anyway, and certainly one that I feel is important, is that quarterback. You just can't win without a quarterback. I always like to read Fran Tarkin, and he writes for the St. Paul Pioneer Press once a week and has really got a good take on quarterbacks. And he's always said you got to have a quarterback to win. And you know, as I said before, going back to the Tommy Kramer and Fran days, we just haven't had a quarterback. We had Brett Favre for a couple of years, and that panned out one year, but the other year was kind of a disaster, which I've never been happy to have a Green Bay quarterback here anyway. So I think the number one thing that people talk about around here is the quarterback.
Okay, we are visiting with Jim Bruton. He is a sports writer and author. We're going to talk about here in just a minute about his new book that he has teamed up with Bud Grant on. It is an autobiography about Bud Grant, his amazing, his legendary career, 18 years as the head coach with the Minnesota Vikings. It is titled, I Did It My Way. Now, the one guy, we got to talk about our former Sooner. How is AD doing?
Well, he's had a couple of injuries the last couple of years, as you know. I mean, he missed a few games last year with a groin, and then he had some off-season surgery and that. But this guy is—I remember being at out at Winter Park for a huge fan day when Adrian Peterson was drafted, and when they announced that the Vikings had picked Adrian Peterson, I mean, the place went nuts. And very frankly, it's gone nuts for the last number of years that he's been here. I mean, he is just the most amazing back. I was out there at the stadium when he broke the all-time record for one game, and I mean, he is the most exciting player I think that's ever played the game, and from the running back perspective. And he's big, he's strong, he wants to win, he wants to play, and I mean, you just couldn't have a better leader.
Sounds like what you're impressed with the most is the intangibles that he brings, just that heart.
just so much heart. I mean, when he came back from that that knee injury 2 years ago, I mean, nobody could believe it.
Right.
He could come back and then have a record-setting season like he did and come back as early as he did. I've had one occasion to spend a little time with him, and you just couldn't find a nicer young man. I mean, you don't want to shake hands with this guy because he'll break your wrist. He has a grip and a shake like nobody I've ever been around. But I mean, he is the nicest young man, the most polite, friendly, decent, and everybody you talk to says the same thing about him.
Okay, we're having a candid conversation with Jim Bruton. He is a sports writer and author, and right now we are going to transition and talk about his book. But first, we've got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with much more with Jim Bruton at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Okay, we are so glad you're with us on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Before we continue with our conversation with Jim Bruton, the author of the new book on Bud Grant, we want you to connect with us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can also check out our podcast page at eradiosports.com. And Jim, so let's talk about this new book, because it is an inspirational read on one of the great football leaders of all time, taking the Vikings to 4 Super Bowls, 11 division titles, with his trademark, his stoic, his calm, on-field demeanor. This had to be a book that you wanted to do for quite some time, because your relationship went beyond you just being an author with him. You tried to play for him, is that right?
Well, I did get signed a couple of times in 67 and 71 and got cut by Bud early in training camp.
Uh-oh.
And I mean, there's a little humor with Bud in that, too, because many years later we were going to have lunch together through a mutual friend, and at the last minute, Bud didn't show up, but he sent with my friend and his friend a picture, which was a typical stoic Bud Grant on the sidelines, but the picture was autographed, and we actually used it for a cover of a book I did many years ago on the Vikings, and it said to Jim, "I always wish you would have tried out again so I could have cut you 3 times. So, I mean, there was a little humor there with Bud, and I remember one time somebody said to me, "Well, why would you tell anybody that story?" And I looked at the person and said, "Well, how many times did Bud Grant cut you?" I mean, that's something to be proud of, I thought, even though I didn't make it.
Let me ask you this, Jim. You know, I had to be a little bit perhaps overwhelming, so much history with this man. Just kind of share for us some of the behind-the-scenes stories that you talk about the book and that you went through with him and chronicled.
There was so much. And I told Bud in the beginning, I said, let's be sure when the book is done and you get a chance to look at the final product that you didn't leave anything out. And so I think, like anything else, he probably did enough to even write another one. But what he put in there was just phenomenal. And telling about his own personal life, he didn't want it to be just about football, but more about who he was. And I learned so much about him as a father and as a husband, and how much his kids meant to him, and his wife, who he was married to for 59 years before she passed a few years ago, and the outdoors. I mean, we have so much in there about fishing and hunting, and even lessons for people who are raising their kids to fish and hunt and have dogs, but had dogs his whole life, and how to raise dogs, and how he took over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and turned them into champions, and how he was a recruiter up there and had to come to the United States to try to find players. And Bud Grant, I mean, it just goes, I could go on and on, and there isn't enough time, but I mean, Bud Grant was the first NFL player to ever play on his contract and jump to Canada to play. He was the first NBA, National Basketball Association player, to ever come to the league from a college team on a hardship case, and then played on the Minneapolis Lakers with the year they won the world championship. First-round draft choice of the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, one of the greatest athletes to ever play at the University of Minnesota, football, baseball, basketball. It just goes on and on and on. His legacy is so incredible. And I think the biggest thing about Bud is that nobody knew any of this stuff. I mean, we knew what a great athlete he was, but none of the behind the scenes. All most people knew is this stoic sideline figure with an XL Viking gray sweatshirt, and that was about it. No heaters on the sidelines, and players in short sleeves, and 20 below weather, and that was Bud Grant. And so to tell his story was just a great, great experience.
And that's what I appreciated so much about the book, because it wasn't just about football. Really, he was the Bo Jackson of his time. I mean, he was a multi-sport athlete, and he, as you had just mentioned, the member of the world champion Minneapolis Lakers. I mean, that was incredible. What position did he play?
He was a forward, and he was a reserve. He didn't play a lot because they had such great teams back then. But Bud was a good shooter, and he was an especially good, very, very good defensive player. And so they often would put him in the game to spell other players. And he made some great game-saving winning shots as well for that team. So, I mean, he certainly played his own, but he learned a lot being on the bench, following the game. I think he could have been a great basketball coach. The biggest thing about Bud is that he knew how to handle people, and some of the great old Vikings that played for him for so many years. I mean, to this day, they still worship Bud. Bud's 86 years old, and the players that played for him, the Dave Osborne, Mick Tinglehoff, the Carl Eller, Jim Marshall, Bill Brown, all the greats of the past. I mean, they just worship Bud Grant. I mean, they just think the world of him.
You know, and I was going to ask you then, I mean, can you share for our listeners tonight what some of the former players, what they remember the most playing for the legendary coach in Bud Grant?
You know, I think a lot of it was that they didn't want to disappoint him. There was so much respect that they had for Bud that they played, I think, even above their abilities in many respects because they never wanted to disappoint him. He was just such a phenomenal figure to them. I mean, everything he did seemed to work. The way he treated players, he was never abusive. He was never, calling players out in front of other players. And he knew how to win. And he brought that winning tradition from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, where he won four great cups and took them to six championship games in 10 years. And I think it was just that the behind the scenes character that Bud was, and the way he treated people and the way he managed people. Frank Tarkanen always said that Bud Grant was the greatest manager of people that he'd ever known. It was just so much about his character and personality that the players just absolutely adored.
You know, I'm glad, Jim, that you bring up Fran Tarkington, because he played 7 years as Bud Grant's quarterback, went to three Super Bowls. How did he motivate him? Because he seemed like he had a Tom Landry type of approach. You're talking about his stoic, his calm on-field demeanor.
You know, before Fran ever came to the Vikings, Bud, when he came from Canada, told Jim Finks, the Viking general manager, that he had traded away the best player they ever had. And when some years later, when Jim came to Bud and said, "We have a chance to get Tarkanen back, what do you think?" Bud jumped on it right away. I didn't even know Fran. I'd never talked to him, but he'd obviously seen him play. And when the trade was made, Bud had always felt up to that point in 1972 that the Vikings had a great team, but the one thing they were missing as they started to get better and better was a quarterback. And getting Tarkanen back, he knew then they had it all. And of course, they went on many, many championships with Fran and went to the three Super Bowls. But they had a great relationship. Bud wasn't the type to micromanage. I mean, he knew that Tarkenton understood the game, and he had a great offensive mind in Jerry Burns, and the three of them just hit it off. And Fran was calling his own plays. Bud always felt that was the right way to do it, and you wouldn't see much of that today. But they had a great relationship. And Fran, the same way. I mean, I don't think there's a person in the world that Fran thinks more of. I have to tell you that when I was doing Fran's book, I asked him one day, and I'll never forget this, it gave him chills up my back. I asked Fran one day, I said, "Do you miss Bud Grant?" And he paused for a moment, and he looked at me, and he said, "Not at all." And I was kind of taken back. I didn't know what to say, because I always had heard they had this great, great relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "You don't miss him. What do you mean?" He said, "I don't miss him because he's with me every day of my life." And I thought, wow, that's pretty strong words. When the Vikings had their ceremony a few years ago honoring the 50 greatest players, the only player that was not coming to the event was Fran Tarkenton. And I had done Fran's book, and I talked to him several times about coming, saying, "Fran, you got to come. This is your team. You're guys. You're one of the greatest 50." And they said, "No, I'm just not going to come." And I don't know why, but he wasn't going to come. About 2 weeks before the event, he called me one day and he said, "I'm coming." I thought, well, I can take the credit for
there
this.
There you go. Yes.
And I said, "Is that because I've been bugging you?" And he said, "No, it had nothing to do with it." And I said, "Well, why are you coming?" He said, "Bud Grant called me." And I said, "What'd he say?" He said, "Fran, he says there's 49 of the 50 living Vikings coming to, or 48 of the 49 living Vikings coming to the event, and there's only two missing. And there's only two that are not coming." And he said, "Who are that?" And he said, Bud said to him, "Fran, you're not coming?" And he said, "I'm not going." And Fran said, "Bud, you're not going. You live right there in Minneapolis. Why aren't you going?" And he said, "Because you're not coming."
Oh.
He said, "I'll be there." So it was They have a great relationship.
Let me jump in here. Author Jim Bruton has been with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. The title of the book is I Did It My Way, A Remarkable Journey to the Hall of Fame. Of course, we're talking about the great Bud Grant, still going strong, 86 years of age. And next time we have you on the show, we definitely want to talk about there was potentially a return to the purple at the age of 78. Red McCombs was trying really hard to have him return to the Minnesota Vikings. So that'll be a conversation for a later day. Jim, what a pleasure to have you on the first time on the program. And we promise to talk to you again real soon, okay?
Well, that's great. That's great. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead in hour number two of the Big E Sports Show at YSR.